Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey everybody, we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects today, and that is one version of a working dog, the service dog. There is a lot of misinformation floating around out in the world about service dogs. Just for starters, a service animal, and it can be other things than dogs, but a service animal is any guide dog, signal dog, or other animal individually trained to provide assistance to an individual with a disability. And that is the definition from the Americans with Disabilities Act. And that's what gives you the right, if you have a service dog, to go anywhere in this country with that service dog.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right, just continuing with a little bit of information about the kinds of service dogs out there. The one that usually comes to mind is guide dog for the blind. They were the first kind of service dog, to my knowledge, trained in this country, and that was, I believe, back in the 40s, and they were German shepherds brought over from Germany and used as seeing eye dogs. These days, we have come to realize that dogs can help all kinds of people. And just a few examples of service, and they're also sometimes called assistance dogs, are hearing dogs for people who have hearing impairments, seizure alert dogs, a dog who can tell you before you or a family member actually has a seizure so you can get somewhere safe. Autism dogs, a great part of their job is the calming effect that they have on an autistic
So
individual.
that's just really that's companion light,
Yes.
very soothing,
Exactly.
not
You want
necessarily a
that,
task
right,
oriented.
exactly. It's that golden retriever, who will just lie on or next to the child and become just a calming agent for them.
Okay.
Diabetic alert dogs are trained to alert to a diabetic's lows and highs. They are generally used with type 1 or brittle diabetics, and probably more often with children than with adults. These are for kids who whose sugar level, glucose level goes so low at night they can die in their sleep. And because of that, parents with young children with type 1 diabetes really get to sleep a full night. They always have to be on, and that's why the dogs can be so incredibly important to them. Skilled companion dogs, you see folks out in the world in wheelchairs, and they have a service dog with them. That dog helps them with all sorts of things at home, out in that world. If an individual in a wheelchair drops the remote and it bounces across the room, the dog can retrieve it for them. Dogs can help them open doors. Dogs can help them carry things. They're trained to carry bags. They can wear backpacks and carry other things. Like, let's say they want a person in a wheelchair wants to go to the public library. You can put the books that you check out from the library in the dog's backpack.
That's tricky.
All kinds of things. It's just
Yeah.
really cool stuff they can do. And those aren't by far not all the kinds of service dogs that folks can have, but they are a few of the ones I'm familiar with. Just remember that a service dog is not your pet. It's not Fido, who you just hang out with at home and want to take him everywhere with you. He is not a service dog.
So in some of these I'm familiar with, some in part because of knowing you, and in part from other people that I've seen that were using them. But what about certifications? I mean, is there like a government agency or something that actually monitors, retracts, records?
Absolutely not. Not in the United States. I do not know about the rest of the world, but the thing that surprises people most is that there is not a national organization that certifies or even registers service dogs.
That didn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't, especially since even therapy dogs, and folks, if you don't know the definition of a therapy dog, it's a dog who, with his handler, goes to hospitals, nursing homes, all kinds of places, to do animal-assisted therapy. Now, my therapy dog is not allowed in any place that serves food in the United States. There are so many places my dog is not allowed because he's a therapy dog, not a service dog. A service dog can go anywhere with his handler that the handler goes, including in an airplane. And yet, there is no registering agency, no certifying agency. It's just strange. It's so strange. And what will happen is there are organizations like Canine Companions for Independence, like Leader Dogs for the Blind. There are others. These places, through donations and grants and that sort of thing, train dogs, train service dogs, till they're fully operational, and then they connect them with a person who has applied for the dog, and the dog has a specific set of skill sets for this individual. And certainly, on some level, I'm sure they are saying, you know, this dog is certified to the best of our ability to be trained for such. Same with me as a trainer. I mean, I can give you a letter or a card that says, I certify that I have worked with this dog team and this dog can do X, Y, and Z. But as far as it there being a national standard, there is not.
I'm really surprised by that.
And it may be that because that in the big scope of things, the whole Americans with Disabilities Act is relatively new. So I think we're kind of finding our way in this country, because you don't see a lot of service dogs out in the world. I don't. I want to see more.
Mostly I see, you know, blind leader dog type.
Right. Leader Dogs for the Blind.
Leader Dogs, thank you. Leader Dogs for the Blind.
That's right. Yes. And I just don't see enough. And that's one of my problems with this whole thing. People who need them should have them.
Right.
And yes, we should have a way to certify and register them, but that's a story for another day.
That's almost a soapbox rant, I think.
Yeah, it is. At any rate, know that if you have a service dog, or if you are getting a service dog or having one trained for you, whatever, nope, you don't certify or register it anywhere. Onward.
So, and I know a little bit about this, but cost. I mean, it's got to be fairly expensive because of the amount of time and effort a trainer puts into each dog.
Yeah, it's really expensive, and it's why if you can go through an organization like CCI to get a service dog, it's great because, again, you pay nothing. You apply for the dog, you are matched with the right dog, then you are trained with that dog in one of their training or their regional training centers, and off you go. If you are using an individual trainer to train a service dog, yes, it can get extremely expensive. I've seen a ballpark of $10,000 for a fully trained service dog, and I truly don't know where that number comes from. The service dog work that I'm doing right now is going to be kind of my test monkey. Because
your test what?
My test monkey.
Your test monkey.
It's sort of like, okay, here's the test, people. I want to see how many hours I actually put in to training this dog with the family that it's placed with, because we're doing it backwards. They are getting their dog as a puppy, and we're going to train that pup together over the next year and 3 months. And I will have a much better idea at the end of that year and 3 months using this protocol and this form of training. How many hours went into it? How many of my hours?
Right.
The family's going to put in huge numbers of hours. But, yeah, I'll know better later. But, yeah, generally speaking, I see this magic 10,000 or more thrown out there. Don't know if it's accurate, but they're not cheap. Do understand that one of the ways, if you want to get a service dog, hire a trainer to help you train that service dog, one of the things that some folks do is they look for sponsorship from local organizations like businesses, churches, and civic groups in their community. And by helping sponsor a service animal, these organizations give back to their community, kind of like sponsoring youth sports teams. It's the same concept. So keep that in mind. And just make very sure that if you do that, if you raise money for a service dog, that the trainer or the organization that you are going to buy that dog from is reputable. Because there are some really bad people out there very willing to take all your money and not provide you with a quality service dog.
Right. I think that's an important piece there, because I didn't realize how many unscrupulous people were out there until Dee kind of showed me the ropes around what was going on with this type of specialized training. And it's disgusting and amazing.
Yep. So research, certainly with the particular specialty that I'm involved in right now, the diabetic alert dogs, contact me. We'll put other contacts up on our website of parents of diabetic kids who have working diabetic alert dogs for you to talk to. Better ask us and get some good guidance than to throw... I know somebody who second mortgaged their house to get a service dog from a particular organization, and they don't have a dog, and they don't have their money.
Wow.
Yeah. So, enough said.
There's a feature.
Yeah.
So, can a person train their own service dog?
Well, tell you what. One of the big challenges with that is getting the dog adequately trained for public access. Just not all dogs have the temperament to handle the stress of working in public. It's a huge job for dogs. And remember, if you're considering doing it this way, that you must meet the ADA definition of having a disability. And that means that your dog must be trained to perform tasks directly related to your disability. Again, it's very specific. If you have seizures, it has to be a seizure alert dog. If you are a type 1 diabetic, it has to be a diabetic alert dog. Period, period, period. Okay, now, minimum standards for service dogs. There's a great organization, Assistance Dogs International, and they've developed a public access test. Now, I'm just going to mention a few of the pieces of that right here, right now. And you think about this, folks, and you think about the training involved and whether it might be wise to get to hire yourself a trainer.
To get a professional.
Right, to help you. The amount of schooling your dog should have if your dog is going to be a service dog. Bare minimum is 120 hours of schooling over a period of 6 months.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Think about it. You go to PetSmart. You go to a class once a week. That's an hour a week. That's only 4 hours a month. And they're talking 120 hours in six months. So it's intense. And that's what has to happen to create a service dog. From a dog. In addition, 30 additional hours should be devoted to outings to all kinds of different places to prepare the dog to work obediently and to be inobtrusive in public places. That's one of the key pieces people don't get. Inobtrusive. Your dog should be pretty much invisible in public, which means you go into a restaurant, your dog is in a down state under the table, and nobody knows the dog is there until you get up to leave. That's how. And that dog cannot lick the floor. That dog cannot be going, oh, somebody dropped a piece of chicken on the floor, I'm going to eat it. Service dogs are trained, no, you never eat off the floor. So just that piece, if you don't think that's a challenge, that's a huge challenge.
You see Sparky? Table be end over end.
Believe me, got labs, food driven. Yes, yes, yes. So just that piece is huge. In addition, at least the basics in obedience training, although I have a list of 50 behaviors that is my beginning list of obedience skills that I think every service dog should have. And you just add to that. And guys, you just got to remember, my Murphy is a therapy dog. He's not a service dog. He's 4 years old. He has over 60 behaviors on cue. And that's just because I train a lot.
Yeah.
And I've taught him a lot of things. So it's certainly very doable, but a regular person who's not a trainer is not going to know how to get there from here, flat out. Then there's the manners piece. We've all seen dogs misbehaving in public. They're everywhere. So here is the minimum on the manners piece for a service dog. They must show no aggression toward people or other animals, and that means they can't bite at, snap at, growl at, lunge at, or bark at anybody or anything. They can't do it, or they should not be in public as a service dog. They cannot beg for food or for people to pet them. How many dogs, if you know, will just go, if they love people, they'll just go pull right ahead from you and head toward a person who's heading for them because they want to get petted.
Right.
Service dog can't do that. They have to be at your side, under control all the time. They cannot sniff stuff. I mean, they all have great noses. Take any dog, any normal dog, into a PetSmart, and you'll see what we're talking about. You know, they're going to want to sniff everything in every aisle.
Yeah.
And all the other dogs and blah, blah, blah. A service dog cannot do that. And, well, here's the big one. No urinating or defecating in public unless given a command to toilet in an appropriate place. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means you put the pee and the poo on cue. That's what you do with service dogs. And with an adult dog, it's not an issue because an adult dog goes 2 or 3 times a day, perhaps, maximum. And so you just teach them to go when you ask them to go, on leash. Not a problem.
That seems like a lot of work. I mean, that'd be hard. I can't.
Well, it's actually not, especially if you start from go with a dog. It can just be part of their standard training. Yep. I work with puppy raisers, with canine companions for independence, and they're 6-month-old puppies who, granted, are bred to be service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
But their 6-month-old puppies are starting to get that behavior down already because they are taught from go. You go on cue, you go on cue. Anything, it's like any behavior. You teach it. If you teach that you can, a dog should only put paws up on something on cue, then that's what they're going to do. So, yeah, it's very teachable, but I hope if you're listening to this and you're considering trying to train your own service dog that you will pause and realize it's an incredible amount of work. If you do it and muck it up and take a dog out in public who is not able to do all of this, you're going to be making every other service dog team look bad. Just remember that if you have a service dog vest on your dog and you are out in public, you represent all of them. And if your dog misbehaves in any way, and especially if your dog is like a lunger, or if your dog jumps on people, or if your dog snuffles everything in sight, or if your dog has a tendency to go to the bathroom indoors, then please don't put the vest on them. They're not ready to be service dogs.
Right.
That's all I have to say about it today. We will revisit this on a later day.
Well, to me, just one last comment out of the peanut gallery. To me, it seems like that even with the professional help, it's a lot of work.
Oh, it's a ton of work, man.
And I just, to me, that seems like a huge undertaking by yourself and a huge undertaking even with help.
Well, it is. And that's what I'm trying to get through to people. That you don't magically get, you know, you get a dog. You're not going to have a service dog in 2 months if this is an untrained dog. It's going to take a year or better to get this dog to the point where they can actually work in public.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a lot of work. But it's way worth it, too.
Yeah, you've done right.
Oh, yeah, done right. That's the key.
All right.
All right, folks. Later.
Bye.